People take weird things sometimes, guys.
Yes.
Weird, random things. And the first person... Sorry, go on.
Things that don't belong to them.
Things that don't belong to them.
Mm.
But there are times in my life where I've gone, okay, no, I get that. I get why you would want to steal that.
Sure.
But there have been plenty of times over my life where I've gone, why? Why? Why would you?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now, I'm going to defer just quickly to Joggers, who is out there at the moment, because this popped up off the back of a story she was telling this morning. Good morning to you, Joggers.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
So I got home yesterday after work, obviously super hot day, middle of a heat wave, and my fan was gone from my room. And we don't have aircon or anything, but my pedestal fan, only like $15 pedestal fan, but it was gone and it was so hot. I asked all my housemates, no one owned up to it, but there was one housemate missing. And I just got a text from her and she was like, yes, yes, I took it. I'm so sorry. I took it. I took it to my friend's house, but I didn't realize I'd be gone so long. It'll be back today.
Oh, my.
Terrible.
So you went without it last night. You had no fan to sleep under last night.
No fan to sleep under. And around 8 p.m. I just went to my boyfriend's house and I was like, I need to use your fan.
Wow.
Gee, I bet he felt really loved up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to use your fan.
Don't lay too close.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too hot.
You know your friend's standing in front of that fan going, oh, that would have been kind of...
I loved it. I mean, I can't believe it was so much fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I get that it was a hot day, but of all the things to take and then not bring back...
Terrible.
That's shocking.
Yeah. Now, that's I can't believe they took that. In a... How could you do that to someone?
Mm.
I've got an I can't believe they took that, as in I was just like, what? Right. Why would they do that? And this is when we got broken in. It was the first time I remember we get broken into at our house when we were kids. And this was a weird waking up the next morning, like having gotten broken into.
Awful feeling.
Well, awful feeling, but also forever and a day will we think to ourselves that they either sprayed something in the air or chloroformed us all or did something like that, because... The place was a mess. Like, it was turned upside down. Every room had cupboards open. It was nuts.
And none of you noticed.
No, we didn't wake up.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that they took was my dad's top drawer.
Okay.
The actual drawer.
The drawer. The whole drawer. The whole drawer was the one thing that they took.
Did he leave his watch and jewelry, that kind of thing?
Yeah, none of that is in there.
Just undies and socks.
It's just not even that. It's just knickknacks. You know, like a couple of fishing magazines and random elastic bands. You're right. Just random thing, like a pocket knife, mate, like stuff like that. And we found it up the street. It's the only thing that they took out of the entire thing when we got broken into
in Beckenham. Now, they did take my Walkman, which I was spewing about because it had my favourite tape in it, 1982 Up in Lights. But they stole my dirty, stinky sneakers, KT26s they were, Dunlops.
Oh.
Of all of the things, they were not to be taken. They were a teenage boy's sneakers and they were old.
One suspects that your house was broken into by teenage boys.
Yeah, going, they look great.
I'd love to hear from you. Under the banner of, can't believe they took that. All right.
Beth from Brabham, you can't believe they took it. What did they nick?
Well, let me set the scene first, because I bailed the kids in the car, went to the shops to get the newspaper. And when I came back, I'm like, oh, my God, I left the back door open. And about half an hour later, the police were at my door going, does this bag belong to you? And I'm like... yes. And then they're like, do these knickers belong to you? And I'm like, yes. And then they go, did you have donuts in the fridge? And I'm like, yes. And he goes, are these the donuts? And I'm like, yes. So apparently this woman broke in. She saw me drive off. And one of the neighbours saw her climb in through a window and rang the police.
Yeah.
So the police found her up the road with all my stuff.
Wow, what an idiot, especially since the back door was open. Why'd she climb through the window?
No, she left the door open.
On her way out.
She did it. Wow.
But Beth, you have to promise me that one day you'll write a book and you'll call it Donuts and Knickers.
Why would you take someone's knickers?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's another phoner. Yeah.
I just love the idea, like the cops essentially holding it on the end of their pen. Like, yes. Are these yours?
Sophie's in Secret Harbour. What was the thing they took and you went, what?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Someone broke into my partner's car in the middle of the night one night, and they pinched my bag, which had all my IDs, my cards, gift cards, everything in it.
Yeah.
But what I thought was hilarious was the fact that it was actually a fake Gucci bag that my parents bought me back from overseas. So the thieves probably thought they struck gold and got themselves a lovely, nice Gucci bag, but joke's on them because it was worth about $10.
Well, God knows I can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Let's go to Nathan in Huntingdale. Good morning to you, mate. They took what?
Hey, g'day, mate. First off, I'll say I listen to you guys every day, and you guys are awesome.
Oh, cheers,
got
mate.
Great taste, Nath.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, brighten my morning every morning.
Thanks, oh, man. Good on you.
So I was living in Kwinana a little while ago, and the car got broken into. Now, I clean out my car, so there's nothing really of value in there at all. And they took my ashtray with my cigarette butts in it.
Oh, excellent.
Wow.
Excellent.
Cigarettes are expensive. Yeah,
wow.
Maybe.
That's wow. bad.
You yeah. never know what that people is... need, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. Oh. You're right. Like, you never know.
You never
yeah.
know.
Let's not judge. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. Now, Pete, you mentioned it earlier, and we've certainly spoken about it between ourselves, that there's a real sort of malaise in the air. It feels like dark clouds are gathering on the horizon, doesn't it? And it's hard, you know, with Omicron variant in the community and the supposed reopenings of our borders on February the 5th, you know, there's a growing sense of anxiety and it's like our little safe bubble's about to burst, you know. But we're trying to keep light. We're trying to keep a bit of fun. And also I know I feel a sense of responsibility. I have a 10-year-old that I want to keep immune from some of the, you know, scary things in life. But this story has just about tipped me over the edge.
Oh, dear.
A man claims his penis has shrunk by almost 4 centimetres due to COVID. Short people got no reason. Short people got no reason. Doctors say that COVID starts with a D, ends with a K. It's not duck. Is a real phenomenon where the penis can reduce in size due to damage to the blood vessels. And although it's very rare, it cannot be fixed.
Oh, now, also, I mean, 4 centimetres, how often are you measuring? I'm going to throw it out there and suggest that all boys have measured when they've reached a certain age. They've measured, just out of curiosity. How many times do you go back in your life and re-measure?
Well, you know, like when you're a kid and you, your parents get you to sort of line up against the wall and then they get you every
you've been
year,
keeping a tally.
Just keep score.
Desperately hoping that it will shift.
There's a wall hidden away at home somewhere.
Didn't your father always say measure twice, cut once? I mean, you know, I was prepared for fever.
Yeah.
I was prepared for terrible congestion, for fatigue. But I don't have a lot to work with here. You know, it's... But I'm determined to not be afraid anymore because, you know, when I think about down there, you know, the bloody thing's been nothing but trouble anyway. So bring it on. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. This is Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Now, guys, I've been with my partner for a number of years and, you know, we know each other. We've seen enough over the years to know that we're not always sexy and we're not always that put together.
Sure.
Okay. So it's like there's a reasonable amount of like we're okay with those moments.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we live together and there's a few secrets. There's a few things that I have been hiding. And I think that he hides from me too. And the reason that we do that is because hashtag romance. We're trying to keep that thing alive. We are both very much the people who go, we don't fluff in front of each other.
That's right.
You know, we don't, we will never, ever, ever, ever use the bathroom with the door open. All those things.
Okay.
We feel like it's a steady decline into a broken relationship.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Hey, we are open plan living in our household.
Yes. Yeah, no way. And
no doors.
You know, so a few secrets. And the other day he went out and I was like, right, jump into action because there's things that I need to do when he's not home okay. in order to keep up this facade.
As in catch up with that other bloke.
No. The second that he reversed his car out of the driveway, I immediately went to the bathroom and was like, right, time to get out those blackhead strips.
Oh, gee, I love those.
Right, so the blackhead strips that you stick on. I plastered one right across the bridge of my nose, across my chin, one on my forehead.
You're right. They're so satisfying,
so
aren't
satisfying.
They?
Yeah,
we're locking in the next 10, 15 minutes of, it's a bit gross. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, it's the nicest way you can handle that kind of gross,
sure.
But it is a bit meh. And of course, as soon as they're on my face, old mate comes back down the driveway because he's forgotten something. Right? So straight away, I'm like, no, because I've been hiding this for years. He has no idea the things that I do to try and keep some sort of like look together in this.
Did you hide?
Well, no. I opened the door and was like, look.
There's something you need to know.
I mean, at this point, he may have thought it might have been better to find me in bed with another man instead of what he was confronted with, which is just me with these blackhead strips all over my face.
Yes.
And so I just said to him, I didn't think you were going to be here. And he goes, I just forgot something. So just, I'll just pretend this never happened. I was like, thank you. And he just got back in the car and drove away.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm not the only one hiding stuff from their partner. I want to know what you're still hiding.
I mean, we're pretty open too, but there are some things you like to keep to yourself. And I was grooming downstairs.
Oh, the old downstairs groom.
I was holding some part of it to keep it out the way whilst I was on the other part.
You look like you're playing a massive string instrument right now.
Yeah,
you
some people have said that, Kimber, but that's for other people to say.
He's
like holding it up as if he was about to play a double bass.
Above his head.
Theatre of the mind, people, theatre of the mind. And in walked my wife, Tina, and I know that I do this, but I wanted to do it privately.
You don't want them to see you do it.
No.
What are you hiding from your partner?
Hey, Jeans.
Oh, Jeans.
Yeah, Jeans.
Hello.
Producer Jeans.
Yeah, mate, have at it.
You hiding something from your partner?
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm telling you this. So, do you know when everyone was getting amongst Scotty Pape's book, The Barefoot Investor?
Yeah.
And he told all of us to cut up our credit cards.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So my husband and I one night cut up our big credit card, paid it off. But there might be another one that he doesn't know about just floating around.
Oh, really?
Just for emergencies.
It hasn't got much on it, but emergencies like, oh, my God, I love those shoes.
Right.
Sneaky credit card.
And then do you do the whole, these? No, I've had these for ages.
Oh, these old things.
You he scuff them up now. When they arrive just so it's obvious.
I got a secret games fund.
Do you?
Yeah.
Surely Liz would be switched onto this. She would know exactly where your finances are going.
So it's a little. This is a little different. So have you guys ever heard of a Raise account? RAIZ?
No.
Yes.
You have? Okay. So this thing's an account where what it does is you can attach it to your bank account. And whenever you buy something, say, for example, you buy like a loaf of bread and the bread's like $2.80.
Yes.
It'll take the 20 cents from rounding it up to $3. So your bank account will send the roundup to the Raise account.
Okay.
And over time.
It's a way of saving.
Yeah, it's kind of like putting all your coins into a jar.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And over time, it adds up. And so it's not long before I've got, you know, a little bit of a pull there. And because it's not directly attached to the bank accounts or the credit cards and stuff, it's kind of unknown.
And you don't have to spend it at Raise Outdoor Living.
No. This came through on the text, 0400 21 945. So we gave her a call. Now, I'm not going to say name out loud. Right? I'm going to keep it anonymous.
Yes.
All right, but we'll just say M.
Okay.
All right. M, are you there?
It's Imelda.
Imelda.
Ooh,
I like that.
Okay,
I like that.
Good. Yes. Good one.
Imelda, are you hiding something from your partner?
Yeah, well, my husband, so I'm a bit of a shoeaholic, and what I do is I order my shoes online and I tee up delivery so when he works away. And then what I do is I grab all my shoe boxes and I bring them to work and I shred them up and then the shoes get hidden. And when he obviously sees them, he says, oh, these are new. And I go, no, they've been there forever. Yeah. You didn't see them. Did you know, on them.
I felt like we had a girl at work do this, and I felt like they were making us kind of complicit in it. Because do you remember Em? She sit down there and she had about 12 boxes under her desk because her and her partner were saving for a house and she didn't want him to know. And so she just was storing them all at work.
Yep. There must be something with the M's.
Yes. How many shoes do you have? How many pairs of shoes do you have?
Okay. I have about over 100. Oof. And the reason being is because I have a really big foot. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid, I couldn't get shoes because they didn't make shoes for big feet, squash, what are they called? Sasquashes or whatever.
Oh, yes.
So now when I see them, I have to buy them. And it doesn't matter if they're beautiful or ugly. And just recently, believe it or not, I actually sold about 30 pairs to this beautiful person that was transitioning, and she loves them. So my addiction is helping other people in Perth.
Oh, good on you, mate.
And wouldn't it be amazing if you had somewhere you could wear them?
Hey, what do you reckon?
It's another what do you reckon?
Okay.
This is given to us by our producers, Jeans and Joggers. Mm. They just give us a topic and just go, what do you reckon about this? And we just chat about it.
Let you loose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Over to what Jeans and Joggers.
Hey, ladies.
Hello. So, guys, what do you reckon? And this is off the back of, you know, Christmas that we've just had. What do you reckon about re-gifting? Re-gifting those gifts that you don't necessarily want.
Yep.
Re-gifting.
Okay.
And you're too tight to go and buy something.
Oh, well, that's an assumption.
Hang on. You're adding extra layers.
That is a generalisation.
I love a re-gift.
Do you?
I think re-gifting should become the norm.
Well, sure.
Because it seems such a shame that if it's the thought that counts, then it's almost that the gift doesn't matter. So if it's not suitable for you, it seems ridiculous to keep it sitting in a drawer doing nothing when someone else could get joy from that gift.
Well, hang on a minute, but if it's the thought that counts, you've given it no thought.
But it's just going to be sitting in a drawer, right? Like you're never going to, if it's a thing, you're never going to.
Don't shoot the messenger. You just said it's the thought that counts.
Yeah, that's
what I. You've given it no thought. You've just re-gifted something.
Why is that not thought? Oh, because
you haven't thought about something.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. I think that's a thing where you go, this gift is more suitable for this person, and I know them, and this is why it's more suitable. That you don't just give it because for the sake of giving it. It's because it's better for them than it is for you.
I do.
Can I throw something in there?
Yeah.
Do you tell the person who you're re-gifting the gift they gave you that you're re-gifting it first?
No.
You don't?
No. There's no need.
No, I think you do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? You're going to call someone up and go, that thing you gave me for Christmas, I didn't get a chance to tell you I hated it, but I'm giving it to someone else, so don't worry now.
Yeah, absolutely, because you are avoiding the possibility of that awkward conversation coming up the next time you catch up with them. Imagine that person you've given that person has come around to your house and they have put... We'll take the phrase, you know, it's the thought that counts. They've put a lot of thought into getting you this gift, right? Giving it to you for Christmas. Yay, that's wonderful. I love this. Thank you so much. And then a week later, they're back around your house for New Year's. Hey, Kimber, so how are you liking the new? And you go, I don't have it. I've given it away. Now, to me, I'm like, whoa, mate.
Yeah.
Honesty. Or if you're going to re-gift, I reckon you got to ask them first.
I mean, honesty is always the best policy, but it comes with its own pitfalls and pain, doesn't it? You don't want to hurt someone's feelings, and so you don't tell them you're re-gifting, but then you do get found out, and it's a double whammy.
You get found out? I feel like you only re-gift the things that, if it's something that I think they're going to check on or they're going to want to see it in my house, then you stuff it in a closet and you have to bring it out every time they come visit, right? Yeah, that's standard.
What about the Facebook Marketplace conundrum?
Oh, yeah.
Right, so you're connected to all of your friends, and generally you'll see the stuff that they might be selling on Facebook, for example.
There's a bit you can mark that says, do not show this to friends.
Yeah, I know, but then you decrease the amount of people who might potentially buy.
Look, I'm saying re-gifting should be normal because, it's something sweet you can give to someone else, and it's better to share than to have it stuffed in a closet somewhere.
Sure.
I had a different opinion until I had kids. And then having kids, like the amount of toys and stuff that they get Christmases and so on and so forth, I'm like, whoa, you don't need seven of those dolls.
No.
So, yeah.
Oh, I didn't want the bloody thing in the first place.
Pete, Matt and Kimber. You know, we want to keep a fun show, and we keep saying let's not talk about the doom and the gloom in the world.
Yes.
But just for a moment, can I just get something off my chest?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. Because I know there's money to be made. I get it. Some people are cashing in this pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There's people who are making a mozza off the rest of everybody else. And I understand it. We're looking at you, Harvey, Twiggy. But, you know, we're all in this together, right?
They say that the 47 billionaires in Australia have doubled their wealth in the 2 years of the pandemic.
Oh, congratulations, guys. Sorry, have you got some sort of, is there any kind of, we got some sparklers or
Oh, yeah. Nothing. My God.
Oh, that's, thank you. That's
is that good?
Start.
$205 million a day they're making.
I mean.
$205 million a day.
I still can't afford a rat test.
And you know what? That's the thing, because they're business level.
Jesus.
They're top-end business level. Yeah. They've got plenty of money, and to make money, you need money, right?
Yeah.
But these are the ones that, this is like, I think we've reached a whole new human low now. Because one of the news sites in the last couple of weeks made the mistake of putting out an article saying, look out, ladies, tampons are walking off the shelves.
Oh.
Okay, bit of a stock issue. There's some stock issues with just one or two brands, right? Not even everything, but one or two brands, there's going to be some shortages.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that made people panic buy or whether it's just a shortage issue, who knows? But we're now, apparently, some of these brands are really hard to get.
Okay.
So you can buy them online because someone's gone on Amazon and gone, you know what, I'll sell these back to the women because the women are in need.
Mm.
And what we're going to do is we're going to sell a box of 18 Tampax tampons, for $114.
Okay, give me some context. What would you expect to pay for that in the shops?
Okay, well, it's roughly a 1,800% markup.
Oh, that's a heavy day.
If that helps.
Yeah.
You know, if you were to be stupid enough to buy the $114 box of tampons, you're basically paying $6.38 per tampon instead of the average 35 cents.
The issue is you can't do anything about it. You know, like you can't stop. This is what happened, you know, not that long ago. Like we experienced this in our household, not with tampons, but with baby formula.
Oh,
and
yes,
we went through that period of baby formula.
Yes.
And it was getting to the stage where people were, like shops were having to actually put limits on baby formula and buy a tub at a time, that sort of stuff, because people were going in there buying boatloads of the stuff and then turning it around and selling it online. It's tough. You just can't regulate it. That's the issue.
But my friends, that is capitalism. Mm.
Yeah.
That is the free market economy that we all embrace.
It's like when you do
supply
it in a suit,
demand.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But it is sad when you're like, when you're one of us, like one of us, and you're turning on the others by making that level of profit. But I do want to just say a big shout out to the guy online whose comment was, well, that's the price that women should have to pay for incontinence.
Oh.
I just want to say, buddy, you might need to go and educate yourself, darling.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't take smarts to be rich. I tell you what, I it's school holidays and well done, parents, for hanging in there. And, of course, like I'm sure in every home across Perth, across the world, there's, you know, debate about device time, how long should they be on the screens. And we were talking the other day, I just marvel watching Steppy D or any kid watching things on iPads and getting into these most incredible positions that can't be good, for, you know, ergonomically for the body. And yet, no matter how unbalanced they are, the screen remains completely still as they watch whatever program they're watching.
Mm.
But I know that we all have become quite addicted to our mobile devices, and it does worry me, and maybe I show my age, but these figures do kind of take my breath away anyway. We spend about 5 hours or a third of our waking life on mobile apps.
Hmm.
Now, does that shock you?
I'm going to say it doesn't, only because what option do we have?
Well, like, I don't know, read a book, look at the trees.
No, see, I don't know. See, a couple of years ago, I would have said the same thing. I would have been like, why aren't we out there living our lives, doing our thing, reading books, all of this. But At the time, that was when I thought using your device was for your own pleasure and whatever.
Mm.
Now, if you want to access your Medicare, you've got to go on. If you want to do check-in, you've got to go on. If you want to access, like, the world is forcing us into technology. And then the first thing we do is complain about young people going, they're always on their devices. Yes. And I'm like, well, we set up a world where you literally can't do anything without it. Like, I'm on my phone a bunch, but it's not just because I'm like, aimlessly looking at rubbish.
I hear that, although 70% of that time is spent on social photo and video apps. So it's still a large majority on. Hey, and there's nothing wrong with a bit of light entertainment. Not everything has to be Shakespeare.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does seem to be. I think for me, the thing that worries me more, or not worries me, but is that it's all so inward looking. You know, the very idea of your whole body and focus going in towards this small device that's just in front of your eyes, that somehow seems to be physically and metaphorically closing yourself off to the world, even though you're presumably, you know, connecting with the world.
We've had to make a concerted effort in our household because of the kids, and we don't want them, you know, taking... being on devices all the time as an example, right? So we do, like we have in the evening, and you know what, like we're not perfect. We don't do it all the time.
No.
But in the evening when we try to and we're actually actively thinking about it, we grab the phones and pop them away. But you know, you make such an incredible point, Kimber. There's always a reason to go and grab them again.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Even just when we're cooking.
Yeah.
You know, the sheer simplicity of being able to jump on your phone. We don't flick through cookbooks anymore.
No.
You know, we're on the phone and we're sort of swiping through on Taste, for example, to go and have a look at a recipe for something. If I need a timer, I use my phone. Same, like, man, I don't have an egg timer that's just sort of sitting there. And you know, there are actually things. I'll just throw this out there because I did go looking through this quite some time ago to sort of help myself. And I'm pretty chuffed. Yesterday, I only spent an hour and a half on the phone throughout the entire day. But there is a thing if you've got an Android phone in your settings called digital wellbeing and parental controls, and you can go in there and you can manage that sort of stuff and you can set timers and you can, you know, all that. But, I mean, even I've found over time, setting those timers, I still break them.
Oh, and how it's so hard not to be...
don't you want to feel bad about yourself along the way, though?
Yeah. and it's so hard not to be a hypocrite, because how many times have you been, you know, whilst looking at your own device going, hey, kids, get off that bloody device.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, mate, all the time. All the time. But, yeah, you're right. It's kind of weird, because it's the world we're stuck with.
It is, yeah.
I wasn't listening. I've been on my phone.
Hey, last night was quite the night in our household, in the Corelli household. There was quite a big thing that happened. And it's the third time that, you know, we've been able to look forward to something like this. But it's the first time that I've actually been present for something like this.
Okay.
So it's no secret because I bang on about it all the time. Three kids. So there's, you know, there's Mila, there's Izzy, and now we've got little Ollie.
Don't talk about Oliver much. And your theory behind that is because Oliver thus far has just been a blob.
Well, that's the thing. We've got the princess, we've got the character, and we've got the blob.
How old's Ollie?
8 months.
8 months, okay.
And the blob doesn't do much. No. And look, you know, admittedly, he's been, over the past couple of months, doing a lot more. Like now he's sitting up and the smiles are just everywhere and he's laughing and he's really communicating. And he's got those things behind his eye, like it looks like he's really starting to notice that you're there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That you're starting to see the intelligence appear there. Yep. And he's doing things like if you leave the room, he'll start to get upset. Like he's noticing that you're not there. All those really cool things. And even cooler is the fact that, you know, we get to remember a lot of the stuff that you forget as your kids grow up a little bit. It's, you know, nice to be reminded of all this and go through it again for the third time. But last night, we were in the bedroom, myself, Liz, and Ollie. And Ollie was lying down back on the bed because we were just trying to chill him out. Liz was in the wardrobe. She was doing a couple of things. And I was just mucking around with the chest of drawers. And Ollie, because he couldn't see Liz, he was starting to get a little bit, and just starting to get a little bit upset, a little bit anxious. Like, Mum, come on, come here. Can you give me a feed? I want to start going to sleep.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like he powered up and let loose. So he goes, Mama!
Oh! He did it.
He dropped his first words last night.
Oh, wow.
And it was amazing the way that it happened. And Liz comes bolting out of the wardrobe. And I'm standing there. And like I said, it's the first time that I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. It's the first time I've been present for one of our kids saying their first words. And I looked up at Liz and she looked at me. And we both had that look on our face, but we both had different thoughts go through our head. Because I had the thought go, oh my God, I'm here for his first word. That's amazing. She had the thought, yes, that's three from three. Because all of our kids now have all first words gone, mama.
And all of their first words were done in complete desperation. Mom!
Absolutely. Feed me.